It's 6 Eastern, 3 o'clock Pacific, coast to coast and around the world.
I'm not a doctor, but I have a PhD in recognizing bullshit when I hear it.
From the America Out Loud Talk Radio Studios.
The American people are not feeling very loved right now, though. They're not feeling heard by the Biden administration.
It's time for The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott.
I'm glad you made it back from the weekend, and happy Monday to you. And over the weekend, my wife asked me an interesting question that began me thinking about things. She said on Friday night, "Can you believe what we did in 2020? We walked in the grocery in the same line because of COVID. Plexiglass was up. Schools were closed. Can you actually believe that we lived through all of that?" And it really made me start thinking, are we living now? Have we completely recovered from COVID? Because I don't think we have. I don't believe we're living yet. I see a lot of evidence of that all over. In church on Sunday, for the first time in over 4 years, they passed the collection plate again. There'd been boxes up by the door. You could put your offering in there. And that's just a small indication of things that really we haven't changed since 2020. And psychologically, are we where we used to be? Because I don't believe we are. And that made me start thinking about that and COVID. I don't know what you think about it, but I don't believe we're fully living the way we were before 2020. And I don't know that we ever will. I'm Booker Scott, and this is The Truth Be Told on America Out Loud Talk Radio. This hour is brought to you by Gold Co. Just go to BookerLikesGold.com to find out more about purchasing precious metals. Coming up in this hour, have a very special guest coming, a whistleblower, a former FBI whistleblower who blew the whistle on the Uranium One and Hillary Clinton way back in 2017 or 18. Nate Kane will be here. He's also running for office in West Virginia, too, and he has some breaking information coming for you. And this has to do with Kinesh and election integrity. We're getting into that conversation in just a few minutes, but before we do, it's time for Mondays with Matt and Matt Palumbo. You can find him on Fox Business and Fox News as a contributor. He is also the content director of the Bongino Report. And Matt, welcome back to The Truth Be Told.
Always an honor to be on. Thanks for having me.
And did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much, I feel like my life is kind of Groundhog Day at this point. So it was a good weekend. The one next week, I'm sure, will be great, barring some act of God. But yeah, everything's going well.
It's the same way with me. I feel like it's Groundhog Day every day. And it kind of ties into the way I started this hour with, have we recovered from COVID? Because as I look around, I don't see us being the same as we were prior to that in 2020. And every time I see somebody with a mask on, my heart literally falls. I can feel my heart fall because I see them as someone that is psychologically so scared and so afraid. And then even when we go to the convenience store and stand in line, maybe we're not quite 6 feet, but we're not as close as we used to be, and we hardly ever make eye contact with one another. And those are things that have changed, and I think society is not anywhere close to what it was prior to COVID. What are your thoughts on that?
There is permanent psychological damage to a very significant portion of the population as a result of COVID. And it's sad because, I mean, the overall death rate for the virus was, I think, 0.5% overall. But you have to remember, like, it was almost exclusively overweight people and the elderly predominantly who were dying of the virus. So if you're not in those categories, it was a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a percent. And if you can't cope with that sort of danger in life, there's an infinite, well, I shouldn't say infinite. There's probably dozens of examples we could think of things you're going to encounter in day-to-day life that are far more dangerous. And it's like, so if the people can't deal with that, can they not deal with something like driving or flying in air, going in an airplane actually, the airplane's a bad example, or swimming or something. And yeah. I don't know if they just aren't aware that those risks are actually bigger risks. Are they as psychotic there? And then, when it comes to other aspects of our society, there are a lot of things that I guess maybe corporate America is just in general kind of used as an excuse to make things worse or save them money. Like, for instance, most restaurants I go to nowadays, at least near me, don't even have menus anymore. You have to scan a stupid QR code and then scroll through your smartphone to read it. Or there was a casino I used to go to, and I think they are back now, but I remember they had to stop serving free drinks. The one near me, they actually did stop this. They had to stop serving free drinks, which is sort of, customary at any casino, right, because of COVID. So that was, they legally had to, but then they never brought it back. They just started charging for them. So
yeah, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that that's been going on.
That's probably the silliest example I could give of, a lingering COVID effect, but just there's nothing that's better off because of it, is my point. And the people scarred by COVID have not gone away. There are people on Twitter here, their entire personality is still COVID. And the hilarious thing is, listen, it's a virus. No matter what you can do, you can delay it. You can run, but you can't hide. So there will be people on Twitter who are like super into masking and all that. And then they have like this mental breakdown 3.5 years in when they finally get COVID. And I just love pointing out, it literally was all for nothing, because you could have gotten it 3 years ago and been done with it. You could have done all this crazy stuff and then still gotten it anyway. Really, what was the point?
And I took my daughter skating on Saturday. It was Taylor Swift afternoon, so it was $1 to get in. She likes to skate. I took her. And there happened to be several birthday parties, at the skating rink like they do. And there were a bunch of little kids, and they have these trainers now for skating rinks. I don't know if you've seen those, but it's basically PVC pipe with put together, and it looks exactly like a walker. If you're 80 years old with a walker. Yeah, and they've got little wheels on them, so the kids don't fall down when they're trying to learn how to skate. And so they had all of these kids line up in the middle, and there were 50-ish kids lined up with their trainers, walkers. And it, to me, I looked at it, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. They look like they're in an assisted living waiting to get pudding. And then I started thinking about this COVID thing and how in 70 or 75 years from now, they're going to be in a line just like this with real walkers waiting to get pudding or lunch or whatever it is. What will they have done, and how will COVID have affected their lives? Because to me, it seems like we are not living. We're not living our lives. And that's kind of what made me start thinking about it. Let's move on to what's happening at Columbia University. Ilhan Omar's daughter was suspended. That's good news. But is this a big story? Is it as big a story as what maybe the news media is making it? Because as I look at pictures taken far away at Columbia University, it appears like there's a handful of people. Is this one of those things where media is making it much bigger than what it is?
Well, I think, and conservative publications, we've done a very good job at covering the insanity of college campuses. Now, I've been to college myself, and I didn't go to one of these elite schools that always makes the headline for this stuff. But I do remember we did have those kind of people at my school, and most normal people view them as a laughing stock. And I obviously can't confirm it. It's like this way at Harvard or Columbia, but I would at least like to believe that it's a faction of students who have these, listen, they're all liberals, but the ones that hold the pro Hamas, the super hyper far left anti-Semitic people are definitely a faction of that group. That being said, as unfortunate as it is, they're going to be the people who are running corporations growing up, running governments, in all these high-level positions, and all those radicals are going to be among them. Yes. So, it's unfortunate because it's going to range from liberals to these complete lunatics. It's worth covering in that. It's worth a reminder, but it's not necessarily news that our college campuses are kind of far gone at this point.
And it seems like they are also being bussed in. Some additional support is being bussed in, probably from the Soros-backed organizations. That's what those guys do. And to make it look worse than maybe what it actually is, most Americans probably don't believe the way those people are believing and the way they want you to think Americans believe. What about the Ukraine flag? We saw the 90. We talked about it last week, $95 billion. That's all that was going to be talked about last week, and it quickly passed. All it took were some missiles launched toward Israel, and bam, here comes $95 billion, $60 billion going to Ukraine. And then among the congressmen in the House of Representatives, the Democrats are waving the Ukraine flag, and it's disgusting.
we need to clip together all the times we've spoken about Ukraine, because I feel like it's like 1 week we were like, all right, so $10 billion we spent. I mean, it's obviously a lot of money, but how much more do I possibly need? All right, $60 billion we've spent. I think we were up to like $160 billion, and I'm kind of losing track at this point. No, it's obviously just the aid itself is ridiculous. I mean, the war is the stalemate. It's how much more are we really going to sink into this? And when it comes to the flags, listen, I have – if you support Ukraine, I – and this is kind of like it's a two-part answer. In theory, no, there's nothing wrong with flying their flag. However, it seems like 99% of these people, this is the first time they're flying the flag of a country. And then I will see cars with just a Ukraine flag on it. I'm going, where's the American flag? So at no point in your life did you think, hey, the country I live in, let's put a bat flag, but instead you want a virtue signal to the guy driving to work behind you? Like, it's just a weird... I don't know, mindset. Like, usually with Republicans, when they have the Israel flag, they also have the American flag, you know, next to it in some regard. They're not just giving Israel a shout out. Yeah. So, no, I don't like to see it. And it's not only were they chanting Ukraine, they're chanting giving our money to a different country that these people, most of them will never visit. And most, listen, the fact of the matter is, most Americans can't even locate Ukraine on a map. So I'm just saying. I don't know. I should add, I bet some of the people who have the flag on their cars can't even locate it on a map.
No, I doubt it. But politically, though, let me read you this post. This is from Andy Barr, and he put this out on Sunday. Another truth. Isolationists so prioritize depriving Taiwan, Ukraine, and our greatest ally Israel with support that they are willing to deprive Speaker Johnson of the votes he needs to get H.R. 2 to the Senate to have a ruling or get a vote on H.R. 2 in the Senate, which I don't think will happen. So Andy Barr is calling out, calling names of other Republicans in the House of Representatives, to which Corey Mills then responds, any member, including my dear colleague, Representative Andy Barr, claiming that those of us who voted against wasteful Ukraine's funding is an isolationist, should thereby consider themselves interventionists. Nothing isolationary about putting America first. So you see this bickering still going on after the vote, and politically, what do you think happens, or does this just die down in a couple of days?
I'm so bad at predicting this kind of stuff. But in regards to the isolationist comment, I mean, listen, if they are an ally of the U.S. and we don't intervene, I think the isolationist comment means something. But there's at any day. In the planet, there is some conflict going on that we are not involved with. And most of them, people aren't even aware exists. Like they're in countries that most people don't even know the names of. Are we isolationists for not getting involved there? And I think 99% of the American public would say, well, why would we get involved? It's not our battle. So it's just weird to see as a smear. I mean, listen, there is a time for military action. We've done a lot of good in the world with it, but I think we should use it quite sparingly. And when it comes to Speaker Johnson, it seems like Democrats now are going to be coming to his defense so he can keep the speakership.
Yeah,
it comes down to that, which I don't know. It's kind of a negative endorsement of him in my eyes, I guess. I was never on the anti-Mike Johnson bandwagon until I saw that, him and his flip-flop on Ukraine aid, all the FISA stuff. And it's just, I mean, I don't know if there's really any point in ousting him, though, in that it's not, I don't, who's going to be better? Like, we're going through speakers left and right, and nothing's changing.
Yeah, and I don't think politically it's a good idea to vacate a chair right now. In my opinion, you're giving the Democrats exactly what they want, and that's to say that the Republicans can't govern. So why give it to them? Why give them fodder for the election? That's what they did in the 22 midterm. They did it with abortion. Then with Lindsey Graham tried a 15-week abortion ban 4 weeks before the election. So I would stay away from that. There's no advantage to it. The Republicans haven't done anything in the House for the last 16, 17 months anyway with the control. What they need is 30 or 40 plus seats, not 30 or 40 less seats. And I believe if they vacate the chair, there are going to be 30 or 40 less seats or at least lose control and power. So the Trump trial, the jurors were finally sat on Friday, and it was lit wasn't it? Quite literally. They had this guy from St. Augustine, Florida, go up there and set himself on fire. Have you read his manifesto? It's interesting. He has all kinds of manifestos on Substack, and we can't get the one from the Covenant Shooter in Nashville. But have you read any of his writings?
I saw some videos of the guy, and he's one of those guys where when he speaks, you can kind of tell by his eyes something is really off. He seems, at least my gauge of his ideology is he's one of the whole, like, the whole system needs to burn Antifa kind of people on that. He was not pro-Biden, but he sure as heck wasn't pro-Trump either. He was
right.
Kind of viewed them as both part of the establishment, and those types are usually the furthest left. As for what exactly it was he was trying to protest, I can confidently say I don't think it worked.
Well, it depends on what, you know, his writings were interesting because I read the one that he wrote just prior to setting himself on fire. And I was with him for a little bit on the cryptocurrency stuff. And, you know, it's a Ponzi scheme. It's a big Ponzi scheme. And as he kept getting into it, it was, I don't know, it was rambling and incoherent mainly. And then I saw videos of him singing, "This is a revolution. This is a revolution." And
yeah.
My opinion went downhill quickly. We need to remember there are still people that are sick in the world. Sometimes we forget that, and as soon as someone lights themselves on fire, we start reading their work as if it's corroborated and legitimate information. When in this case, take caution when you read his stuff, and don't believe that it's some type of government conspiracy, because some people are already believing that.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, it just seems like, and I said, just from how the guy talks, it seemed mentally ill. And just one very minor correction to your crypto thing. It's not just a Ponzi scheme. It's the world's first voluntary Ponzi scheme. So you know what you're getting yourself in for, at least. But of course, it's a Ponzi scheme.
I had the opportunity to buy Bitcoin at 50 cents. And I don't remember what year it was, but I was told that it is, because I asked, I said, what is this for exactly? If it's 50 cents, what am I getting? Well, you can play computer games with it. And I think this was 16 or 17 years ago. I said, well, I don't play computer games. This is stupid. In some ways, I still feel like this is stupid. I don't know because, I do know that a value of any currency is only perceived value. It's the same way with the dollar. It's perceived value. So I guess, obviously, I missed the boat on Bitcoin like I have a lot of other things. But, Matt, thank you always for joining us here on Monday. Mondays with Matt, the creative name of this segment, Mondays with Matt. Matt Palumbo, thank you so much.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
I want to be clear with everyone listening right now. I know I'm talking about a lot of scary things that could potentially affect you directly, because one way or another, whatever happens to this country, it's going to affect you or someone you know. So what you do about it, it's up to you. It's your business. But if you're the cautious kind, wanting to be prepared just in case, then here's an idea for you. It might make sense to diversify your money with precious metals. And that's why I partnered with GoldCo, because I believe this could be the best way to help you. So why don't you go to BookerLikesGold.com right now, and you can get your free gold and silver kit from GoldCo, which it shows you how to get into precious metals tax-free and penalty-free, even if your money's still in a retirement account like an IRA or a 401k. And you may already qualify to get that $10,000 in free bonus silver. You've seen the writing on the wall. Don't wait. Go to BookerLikesGold.com to get your free gold and silver kit, because this is about taking back control of our privacy and our freedom. I can't predict the future, but I can get ready for it. I can prepare for it, and you can too. At the very least, be educated about what you can do and about your choices. Take some action. Defend your freedom, your privacy, and your future. Go to BookerLikesGold.com to get your free 2024 gold and silver kit right now.
If you ask me, this whole world is gone to hell. I speak the truth, but these days the truth won't sell. I bleed red, white, and blue in my ways you just can't change. Wrong or right, I give my life. This place called USA.
More Truth Be Told with Booker Scott in a minute on America Out Loud.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Make sure you visit the shop at AmericaOutLoud.news. Just go in that shop there. If you find something you like or you want to buy, make sure you use that promo code OUTLOUD for a discount. Some discounts up to 25% off at AmericaOutLoud.news/shop. I'm Booker Scott. This is The Truth Be Told. And if you remember back, there was a company called Kinesh that had a CEO. His last name was Wu, Y-U. And he was indicted and charged in Los Angeles with election integrity issues. There were servers in China that this company, Kinesh or Kinect, I'm not exactly sure how you pronounce it, that they were using, and somehow they transferred all these poll workers' data, their names, their addresses, maybe social security numbers. I'm not sure what all went to China, but that was what was alleged. And in the middle of all of that was True the Vote, Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips, that ended up being held in contempt of court. They wouldn't give up their source, and they stayed in jail. I don't remember how many days it was, but I believe it was 10 days to 2 weeks, something like that. In the middle of all of that was Cain and Associates, and I'm talking about Nate Cain's company here, and they were hired in the middle of this process to prove exactly what was going on. Nate Cain is here now, and we're going to welcome him to The Truth Be Told. Nate, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you for having me, Booker.
So let's back up and go to this Kinect story first. And Kinect is a company that deals with, I guess what they were really dealing in is stealing Americans' information to China. And for some reason, that ended up getting thrown out of court after the Wu was indicted. And somehow along the way, that ends up getting thrown out. Along the way, you were asked to come in as a cybersecurity expert and someone with an election integrity background to do exactly what?
Well, my company is we do all kinds of what we call highly adaptable cybersecurity services, and or hacks for short. And that includes cyber forensic capture. My background, I was with NSA for a while and got trained on how to basically go into a system and assess it for being looking for indicators of compromise and things like that. But we also know how to collect There's very specific rules when you have to collect something that's going to be used in a court of law. And so we were basically hired to assist with the search warrant because the indictment that they had was based on a couple of things. One, Eugene Yu had signed a contract with Los Angeles County indicating that all of their software was being developed by, you know, U.S. persons. And then they also had signed on the dotted line saying that no PII, which is personally identifiable information, that would be like sensitive data like your name, social security number, address, phone number, maybe your driver's license number, anything that might show up in voter registration and that sort of thing. So what they had was a contract violation that amounted to embezzlement of public funds because he knowingly signed this contract, even though he did not meet those standards. The reason that's important for the development of software that's used in elections is because under the Obama administration, Jay Johnson, who was the outgoing Department of Homeland Security director, had made all of our election systems part of the national critical infrastructure. And Connick developed software called PollChief, which is used as election management software. And so it manages the poll workers, it does payroll, so it has social security numbers and that sort of thing. It also manages election judges. It also manages inventory of the systems. And so, because it also does record keeping. And so what we found, and we were expecting to find LA County data that was being, you know, leaked to the Chinese, but what we discovered was far greater than Los Angeles County. And there was multiple counties across the U.S., very large counties that had had their PII from poll workers, election judges, as well as voter registration information leaked to the Chinese because they were having a Chinese company that was based out of Wuhan. And they were actually doing the software development for Connick. So we found all the evidence that they were basically submitting tickets to them for changes to their software and updates to their code. But there were two other things that were found. One, there was a user account that had a flaw in it that allowed them to basically turn a regular user account into a super user, which gives them full administrative access and backdoor access into PollChief. But PollChief is all around the country in multiple counties and connects to the voter registration of several counties, as well as, like I said, connects to the systems themselves in order to pull down electronic records that need to be maintained for up to 2 years, you know, per the law under the 1968 Civil Rights Act. And that's so that, you know, audits can be conducted later. So we don't know exactly the extent of PRC infiltration into our election system may have occurred. All that we know is that the possibility and the capability was there because of the fact that they had access into PollChief through this elevated permissions account. Also, there was another ticket that we found where they were asking their Chinese counterparts to create a certificate, an encrypted certificate that would allow for connection between CIDL, which is a Spanish election monitoring company, and PollChief, and it would give access without a username and password back and forth. Why that's disconcerting is because after the 2020 elections in Spain, the Spanish government raided CIDL and charged them with election fraud. And so why that company would ever be given access into, you know, our election system, you know, via this other company, Connick and their software PollChief, that was concerning as well. But that's pretty much the bulk of what we found. There's some other things that were pretty, you know, pretty disturbing as well that had to do with rotating proxies and indicators that would seem that there was potential exfiltration. But, you know, most of those things would require a forensic investigation to take a look at logs and things like that. And as far as I know, none of that's been done because these counties were never informed by Los Angeles County. They refused to notify any of the counties of whose data they found. And that, to me, is unconscionable.
As I remember this, Nate, as the story was breaking, when was that? A year and a half ago, 2 years ago, when there was an indictment of Wu. And, of course, through the vote, that's when Greg Phillips and Catherine Engelbrecht both were in jail for a long period of time for contempt, if people remember that. That's what was going on. That's what this is all about, what Nate is talking about.
Yeah, in fact, it was the pit where Catherine and Greg had gone and did their expose on what they had found. They had somebody, a source, who had provided them information, and then they connected them with the FBI. The FBI was cooperating at the time, but then once it got pulled into Washington, D.C., they shut down the investigation and then started targeting Catherine and Greg.
Yes.
So they, that pit event, there was a representative from Los Angeles County, because they had poll chief and they were concerned. And that was the investigating officer, Andrew Stevens, who then the Eric Neff, who was the deputy DA, he decided to, you know, to start a grand jury, my business partner, Harry Howery, ended up testifying in that, because we had been asked by LA County to do some outside looking into what the claims of True the Vote were, and to see if in fact it was plausible. So we did a bunch of analysis using open source intelligence tools, and what we found was some very suspicious IP activity that was going between poll chief domains and China. And in particular, there was what we call a rotating proxy that was going on, where it was basically adding all of these other websites to the IP that was supposed to be reserved for poll chief, this companies who, you know, who was, of course, providing election management. And there were websites like, you know, porn sites and, you know, what they seemed to be like shell, you know, companies that didn't exist, but they were made to look like they exist, that were all rotating. Now, those rotations were like every other minute, and they started right before the, like the day before the election, and they ended right after the election. And so, yeah, and so
explain what that means by rotation.
So a rotating proxy, basically, it's going to mask the real website that is part of, you know, that that has that IP address. And why it's something that we should be concerned about is, number one, the timing of it, that it starts right before the election, ends right after the election.
Right.
It was only in one county, not at liberty to say which county, but what I will tell you is that it was a county where we know that there was one of those Chinese PRC funded police stations. And it's not one that has ever been made public, so that's why I can't really say which county it was.
Okay.
But we believe that the purpose of that is to essentially obfuscate the exfiltration of data. So if, you know, all of our systems around the country, we've got, we have a lot of monitoring that goes on by NSA. And if somebody had wanted to get information out, but they didn't want, say, a government surveillance to see what was going on, the best way to do that is to create a lot of noise, so it makes it hard to see, you know, the needle in the haystack.
Yeah, that makes sense. And as I remember, Kinesh, as you're calling it, I think I've always said Kinect. I wasn't sure how to say it. I remember them having sent voter or poll worker information to China, and was there a server in China that they were running this on?
Yes. So they were using a collaboration software that was cloud-based called DingTalk. And DingTalk is, we validated and verified that the IP addresses for DingTalk are managed and housed, and the servers are housed in Beijing, China. So they were operating, communicating through that. And they were sending things like the administrator username and password for poll chief for various, you know, counties. They were also sending poll worker data, you know, voter registration data, election systems inventory data, as well as, you know, poll judges data or election judge data. So that kind of PII and sensitive information ending up on Chinese servers, you can assume anything that ends up on a Chinese server is going to be captured by the Chinese Communist Party. They have a policy in China. Every company that is, Chinese in origin must work for the PRC to do surveillance capture. That is a requirement. That is why the U.S. Department of Commerce passed a law called, 15 CFR Chapter 7, where it expressly forbids any U.S. company utilizing any kind of software development downstream or what we call supply chain or any kind of hardware for that matter, supply chain. So you can't have like microchips and stuff that are coming from China if that software or hardware is going to be sold to the government for use on national critical infrastructure. And because election systems are part of national critical infrastructure, it makes it a felony to knowingly do that. And so this company was knowingly working for or working with a Chinese company that had workers that were Chinese nationals in Wuhan, and they were storing data on servers in Beijing. Now, the guys that I had working for my team, I had about 12 contractors. These guys were all cyber protection team members. They were all with the U.S. Army National Guard. They happened to, at that time, by providence, they were in my area, and I knew their team lead. He was a friend of mine because we worked together for several years, and I reached out to him to see if he was interested in helping me with this work and if he knew anybody that could help with it. And so we got permission from their commander for them to moonlight with my company, and I hired them to do this work, and they did excellent work because these guys are highly trained in what they do. One of the guys was an FBI cyber forensics investigator, and the other one was a DEA cyber forensics investigator. And so they helped me to develop the procedures so that we handled that information with total control and made sure that it was protected and you had total chain of command or chain of custody, so that you could use it in a court of law. And so this was very good, solid evidence that showed not only that LA County's contract, in fact, had been violated, but it also showed that there was likely a national security, threat in this company. And to validate that, I as a cleared contractor, I had to make sure that this information was looked at mm-hmm. by DCSA, which is Defense Counterintelligence Security Agency. They maintain all contractors' clearances. So I notified them. I sent them all of the evidence. I sent them our assessment. They assigned it to an analyst. Their analysts agreed and asserted that this was a national security threat of urgent concern. And then they, in turn, referred it to the FBI's counterintelligence division, to which it seems like nothing was done because neither myself nor my business partner nor the guys that were working with me, nobody was contacted to be interviewed by the FBI. And then that suspicion was again reaffirmed when I eventually did reach out and contact Allegheny County, Pennsylvania, because by far they had the largest breach of information that we found on these Chinese servers. And I reached out to the Allegheny County Police Superintendent, Michael Pierce. I drove up to Pittsburgh, provided them a copy of all of the data so that they could take protective measures. And they contacted the FBI, and through a source who was acting as a liaison for me, he reached out to Michael afterwards to find out what happened with the FBI. And Michael told him that when they contacted the FBI said they weren't interested.
Why is that? I mean, you mentioned a couple of things. You mentioned Wuhan a couple of times, which I find that interesting. It's like everything in China revolves around Wuhan, whether it's COVID or now this. But why did the FBI have no interest, and why have they just dropped the charges against Wu and Kanish?
So I believe that there's probably two separate things going on, but it's probably the same reason. And that is that both the Biden administration and, in this case, Los Angeles DA George Gascon, who is a George Soros-funded DA. His race was, you know, he was one of the darlings of George Soros.
Yeah.
He was not the one that led the investigation, and he, you know, my understanding from people who I've talked to at the LA County DA's Bureau of Investigation is that he was furious when he found out that this case had been brought. But because it was brought by a grand jury, there was nothing he could do to stop it. But after it was completed, the first thing he did was he changed the arraignment date until after the election, making the claim that it would cause chaos in the elections if they allowed this to go public before the elections. And so he moved the arraignment date till after the election, 2022. Then immediately after that, he then put Eric Neff on suspension and eventually fired him. And he removed the investigating officer, Andrew Stevens, off the case, and then dismissed the case on grounds that he said that there was bias in the investigation and in the collection of evidence, which is a complete lie. I believe he did not want to give any kind of win to claims that there was foreign intrusion into our elections, because there were Republicans that were concerned about that, that were bringing that up. And there is a tort that's just been released by Eric Neff that he's suing, you know, the LA County District Attorney's Office. And he makes the claims that George Gascón did not want to help Trump in any way. And so it was political reasons that he shut down the investigation and dismissed the case. Well, immediately after he dismissed the case, of course, Eugene Yu fled the country. He went to Malaysia. And then from there, he ended up suing LA County District Attorney's Office. Now, if you're being sued and you have evidence that he sued them for wrongful arrest, but if you're the one being sued for wrongful arrest and you have evidence that your indictment was absolutely, you know, righteous and that the information that you collected matched what was in the indictment, there's no reason to settle. You want it to go to court because you'll be able to prove in a court of law that that's a bogus claim, you know, asking for, you know, basically making, you know, the claims that it was a wrongful arrest. However, George Gascón decided to settle with Eugene Yu for $5 million. Now, the only reason to do that is because you don't want something coming out through discovery. You don't want something coming out through a trial. You don't want the information getting out there that there was any legitimacy to the investigation and to the arrest. And so to me, this is a straight up case of fraud, waste, and abuse. In this case, you know, it is the waste of the taxpayers' money, but it's also a case of obstruction of justice. And in my opinion, you know, the DA has, you know, I think he's committed a crime. Also,
hey, Nate, can we take a break real quick? We're up against a commercial break. Let's take a break. And I also want to, when we come back, I want to ask you or have you answer the question about the foreign interference in the 2020 election. Where do you think it came from? How do you think it happened? And we'll get into that next right here.
More The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott in Minute on America Out Loud Radio.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Welcome back to The Truth Be Told on America Out Loud Talk Radio. I am Booker Scott. Thank you for joining us. We are in the middle of a conversation with an FBI whistleblower, Nate Kane. He's also running for office for West Virginia 2 for the U.S. House of Representatives, and I want to get into a conversation with him about that as well. But before we went to the break there, he was on a couple of different subjects, and I want you to finish your thought, but then I want to have you answer that question about foreign interference in the 2020 election. Where do you think it came from? What countries, and how did it happen? But please keep going with your thought that I interrupted you on.
So my thinking is that same reasoning, you know, this idea that they didn't want to give Trump a win, they didn't want any of the claims by Republicans that there was you know, anything going wrong with our elections. They didn't want that to get out. And I think the FBI, their reasoning was probably likely the same reasoning. And so instead, they just decided to, you know, for political reasons, to shut down investigations. The reason I believe that's the case with the FBI is because that's essentially what I blew the whistle on back in 2017, 2018, was the FBI's obstruction of justice. You know, in that case, it was about the investigations into Hillary Clinton and Uranium One and the Clinton Foundation. But that was also based on political reasons. So that's my opinion, you know, about why that happened. And but to move on to your other question, go ahead.
Yeah, it's about the election in 2020. What foreign countries were involved? How did they do it? And did they do it? Is it your opinion they did?
So in my opinion, what I've seen is there seems to me to be very good evidence that there was election manipulation that was going on through the mail-in ballots. I think the bulk of what we were seeing was that you had illegal or fake artificial voters that were entered into the voter registration system. The voter registration system, by the way, is the main system that is connected to the internet. So when they say that our election system's not connected to the internet, they're being disingenuous because the voter registration is. And we saw, you know, a massive plus up of, you know, of voters prior to the election. And then right after the election, many of these districts cleaned their voter rolls and removed them. I worked with both the White House, Peter Navarro, on a team doing election integrity after 2020. And I also worked with the Amistad Project and Phil Klein. And then I was hired by Judge Gableman in Wisconsin to assist with their investigation. What I learned from all three of those experiences is that there was a lot of counterfeit ballots that were being printed and delivered. And I believe this is why they had to shut down the counting of the vote at midnight, because they didn't have enough votes to, you know, cheat in the election. And yeah, so they had pre-staged counterfeit ballots that they entered in under the cover of darkness after they had sent the poll watchers home. That's why the numbers all of a sudden shifted and jumped and flipped in the morning when we woke up. The other thing about that I think that's significant is that there was a recent case in Georgia where you had an election integrity group that had won their case with the court to allow them access to the physical ballots that were required to be maintained, because they had looked at the ballot images and they found that there were about 100,000 ballot images in Georgia that had no crease. So that means they were not folded, they were not put into an envelope, but they were still inserted into the counting on the tabulators. So the question is where are these ballots? So they wanted to inspect them, and the court agreed, about 100,000 ballots. And what they ended up doing was they looked at these, or they went to go ask the county clerk for those ballots. And it turns out they had all been destroyed.
Yeah. I had Garland Favorito on a few weeks ago, and we were talking about this very thing. As the election of 2020 ended, as I remember it, there were a lot of videos going around, a lot of people saying that it was because of the manipulation of the internet and the numbers. There was an algorithm used. I remember Patrick Byrne having a video. And do you remember that? Do you know who Patrick Byrne is? He now is associated closely with General Flynn. But I remember his video on the 4th or 5th of November. And he said, our guys got it all. We got everything. And this is how they did it. And I wonder if a lot of people started thinking that it was manipulation only by an algorithm, because now as the dust has settled and years have gone by, I agree with you that it was the drop boxes and then just dropping off these fake ballots at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And or was it a combination of both, do you think?
I think they had a combination of a lot of different things that were going on. I think the bulk of the cheating was done through counterfeit ballots that were introduced under the cover of darkness. But that was kind of like a last ditch effort, because I think Biden was losing badly.
Yeah.
So it was very obvious. I mean, you can look at how the numbers were going, and all of a sudden there's this massive jump up. And everybody's seen the video or seen the pictures of those statistics. But the other thing that was going on is there was there were remote connections. But the remote connections, I don't believe, were directly to the machines. Most of those machines, there's a lot of talk about it. I've never seen the evidence for that.
Okay.
The biggest problem in my opinion, with the theory that the machines themselves were hacked, is that we never got access to the machines. They wouldn't give us the access. And so, unfortunately, we had to just look at what we had evidence to see.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So let's move to you for a minute. Thank you for all that great information. I hope people can take that in and do something with it. But let's talk about West Virginia too. You've decided to run for Congress, and when's your primary coming up? And then also, what about your competition? How many people are you running against?
There are 5 people in the race that I'm running up against. The main competition is going to be Riley Moore. He's our state treasurer, and he's also he's got the name Moore. So he's the nephew of Shelley Moore Capito, our U.S. senator.
Sure.
And there's some interesting things about him. He's also the former vice president of the Podesta group. And a lot of people don't know that, but the Podestas, of course, John Podesta, Tony Podesta. John Podesta was Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman. And these are things that I think West Virginians need to know, but unfortunately, not many people do. I think my race is going good. I'm running a very, very grassroots campaign. And I'm doing a lot of door knocking, a lot of events, a lot of talking to the people. But I'm also working on fighting for issues now and trying to do things to help the people of West Virginia. I think that's the only way that I'll be able to prove and show people that I've earned their vote. And I hope that this May 14th that we'll find that out. So I've been working harder, I think, than I've ever worked on anything.
Yeah, yeah, that's normally the way it goes. Nate, what do you make of the Ukraine flags flying as the $95 billion was passed last weekend? I'm talking about the congressmen, women, and men waving the Ukraine flags afterwards. How did that make you feel?
As a military veteran and an American who's taken the oath to protect and support and defend our Constitution, I'm very disappointed in what Congress has done in giving all this money. By the way, all that money is borrowed. So Basically, we are going into debt to help another country that is not, part of NATO. We have no treaty that says that we have to do this. We're just doing it. And I believe we're supporting a proxy war. I don't agree with it at all. I think we have plenty of things that we could be spending, the people's money on. In fact, first and foremost, giving it back to them. But second of all, we have crumbling infrastructure here. In the U.S., we have a border that is completely wide open. And yet in that package was also not just money for the Ukraine, but money to secure Jordan's border. What in the world are we doing?
Yeah. Yeah, it makes no sense, does it? And you bring up proxy war, and I've said this for over 2 years now. I believe the war that is going on in Ukraine and Russia, it is China's proxy war against America, because as we sit here 2 years later, America is depleted of resources in military and financial, and it just Russia and Ukraine, they're not moving. Nothing's happening. It's like a rope-a-dope with Russia. They just continue to keep this war going, and we continue to spend billions both in military equipment and also in resources financially. So I think we are really the big losers in the battle and the war between Ukraine and Russia.
Oh, without a doubt. And, we've got a real problem in spending. This is what Eisenhower warned against, when he talked about the military-industrial complex, that he worried that if those people who were, the ones that made the bombs and made the munitions and all of that, that if they ever were in control of policy, that they would not sue for peace, but rather they would sue for war because it would be profitable for them. But on the same respect, we're not spending money to build new ships. We're not spending the money to build new planes. We're not spending money to keep up with our adversaries on technology advances. And in fact, this was a report that came out for 2024 by heritage.org. They looked at our military, and right now we are one third undermanned for our military, meaning we could not fight a war on two fronts. We are in a very, very dangerous place in America today. And who would want to join the military with all of the wokeness and all of these other issues that are going on? We also have a problem with readiness in terms of training. The Air Force was found to be in the worst, all four categories, I think they were in bad shape. And then you also had problems with the Navy, was a pretty bad. Army, the only one that was good at all was the Marine Corps. They were solid on all four categories of, assessment.
Yeah, and I saw that China was going to have more ships in their Navy than America will for the first time ever. So we're losing that battle as well. His name is Nate Kane. He is running for West Virginia, too. He's also an FBI whistleblower, and you heard his story here about the election integrity issues. Nate, before we leave here, tell everybody where they can find you and support you as a candidate in West Virginia, too.
Yeah, people can go to NateKaneForWV.com. That's NateCain, the number 4, WV.com. And Nate Kane for WV is also my handle on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, True Social, Getter, and Gab. So I'm pretty much on all of the social media.
Nate, thank you so much. Good luck in your race. Appreciate you making the time to come visit with us.
Thank you, and God bless.
And that was some really interesting information there from Nate Kane, former FBI whistleblower for Hillary Clinton, and some new information there about Kinesh. I hope you enjoyed that. Again, he is running for the U.S. House of Representatives in West Virginia District 2. So if you like what you hear, make sure you support Nate Kane. My name is Booker Scott, and you were told 2,000 years ago that you are the salt of the earth. And salt without flavor, it has no value. So whatever you do, keep being salty. Have yourself a great night. Unleash the Political News Hour. It starts next.
There is only one truth. You've been listening to The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott on America Out Loud.